Good morning. Today is Monday, September the 17th. Joining us this morning to talk about, well, something you wouldn't anticipate from them are the Quellos.
Marty, Kim,
when you're challenged with things, I suppose there's always some kind of a response that people make on an emotional level rather than logical. So it's your opportunity to deal with something on an emotional level. Or why do they say that this morning is, why do we call a fable a legend?
Why do we call a fable a legend?
Don't be thinking too hard on this one. That would be the logical side.
Man, that would take at least 30 cups of coffee to process that one.
All right, Kim, we'll go to you. Any idea?
No.
None at all. All right, here we go. Why do we call a fable a legend? The word comes from the Latin legenda, which in turn became legere, which means to read.
Oh, okay.
The original legenda, I guess is how it would be pronounced, was a book containing the lives of the saints read at convents and monasteries. But it included so much that was far-fetched and miraculous that the word legend got its current meaning.
Interesting.
So another thing that the church has gotten its way into the vernacular.
Yeah.
Legend. So if you're legendary, I guess that means nobody believes really what they hear about you.
Now that's an interesting interpretation.
Yeah. Not that that's a bridge any of us are going to be crossing in the near future.
True.
Oh. With the Alzheimer's walk that you guys are involved with, why? What's the driving force? There's always a backstory.
I think there's two major threads to that backstory. The first part of the backstory is that Alzheimer's is quickly becoming the disease our country needs to focus on the most. And it's had the most rapid escalation in terms of mortality rates. It's the sixth leading cause of death in the country. For California last year, it was the fourth leading cause. For this year, it's now the third leading cause of death. Within 1 year, it's jumped up that far. Why? There's three factors at play at this point. One, we have an aging population. 10,000 people a day are turning 65.
That's where I was going, was with the aging, as the boomers are
continuing,
but also as people are living longer.
Well, that's the thing. We've got the people that are becoming, the population is aging. The second thing is that we are making major advances in the other diseases that have high mortality rates, and those death rates have dropped for heart disease or cancer, et cetera.
So by relative, it's kind of standing out.
Exactly, yeah, and okay. So therefore we are living longer. And then the third thing that we're just finding out, and Kim can talk more about this later, is the fact that our lifestyle of eating too much, not eating the right things, and not exercising is having a huge impact on Alzheimer's and every other major disease we face.
It's amazing how much we do to ourselves.
Yes, we are definitely our worst enemy.
Is Alzheimer's something that is international? I mean, when you're saying lifestyle and diet and things of that nature, certainly if we look at other cultures, they're eating different, they're acting different, they're being different. Is this something that is a Western culture condition?
They do find Alzheimer's around the world, but there are some cultures that have a lower incident because of their diet and because they're exercising. And then these same cultures, when they are living over where they're living, things are pretty good. When they move to the United States, then things change and they do develop Alzheimer's or other dementias.
Now, we're starting to hear a lot about younger folks, or I guess they call it early onset.
Yes.
With Parkinson's and some other brain-related. Well, I guess everything's brain-related, isn't it? Except when I go flatline like I just did. Other conditions that are traced to brain activity.
Uh-huh.
Same true with Alzheimer's? Is it creeping younger, or is it still something that is more, not elderly, but more of a mature related disease?
They're diagnosing a lot of folks that have early onset Alzheimer's. I don't know if folks are getting there's more people getting early onset, but rather the doctors are better at diagnosing early onset. And a lot of early onset Alzheimer is genetic, 1% genetic link.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now, 1% chance there's a genetic link, or?
1% of everyone that gets Alzheimer's, there is a genetic link. So it's pretty darn low.
Okay, so it's due into it yourself.
Right. So some people, if you know you have that genetic link, 100%, if you have certain genes, then 100% you're going to get it. So then you play into it. If you're actually diagnosed really young before you have children, are you going to make that decision? Or if you know your grandparents had it and your parents had it, are you going to get tested?
Well, if there's only 1% of that, there's probably a whole bunch of other stuff that are at the 20 to 50%
percentage.
So on the pecking order of,
right.
Yeah, it's probably down there low. What are the, I guess, the misnomers, the rumors, the legends
right.
around Alzheimer's?
I think the primary one is that Alzheimer's is a natural part of the aging process. And it's not. Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia are not part of the aging process.
It is a subset of dementia?
Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia. So it shouldn't be in a situation where as you get old, you're going to get Alzheimer's. It's a disease. So this is something that we should be able to prevent. But after 100 years of trying to tackle this disease, there currently is no treatments or cures. That's really what has people extremely terrified. And the fact now that the latest statistics have come out that those who caregive for patients with Alzheimer's are having a 44% mortality rate. They're dying before their patients are. So 44%.
So they're a contagion of some sort?
No, it's the stress. It's the 24/7 and the emotional stress.
It's the caregiver part.
Yes.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time is 8:24. Do I want what, Kim?
I was going to say, do you want me to explain what? Dementia, the overall term, is loss of cognitive functioning. And then underneath.
Oh, that sounds so clinical.
I know, but underneath that, there are different types of dementia. The most common, like Marty mentioned, is Alzheimer's. That's like around 70% of all dementias are. So someone will say, well, my mom's got dementia or Alzheimer's. Well, you know, she has a form of dementia.
Where is, to use the phrase that Marty had said in the last segment that really doesn't apply, where is normal forgetfulness versus getting closer to that part of the spectrum where it's, into something's going on to full-blown Alzheimer's or dementia? What is there a normal range?
When activities, what you normally do starts interfering with daily life. So if you need to, usually the most common is when people realize there's a problem is when they're having problems paying their bills. So they forget to pay their mortgage. They forget to pay their water bill, the electricity. So
you're out driving and you can't find your way home.
So that's
that would be a huge red flag, I think, for
yes.
Yeah. Thing, activities that you would that you're normally doing on a regular part of your daily existence, when those start to be impaired.
But just forgetting the keys now and then, or calling your kids by other kids' names.
Well, that was happening
your
in our 20s.
Right. That's common.
That's life.
You know, that's life. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I suppose. Yeah. There's that. there's a fear, I think, of the unknown, even if you're familiar with it, because when it starts to come to you, it's different.
Oh,
you
yes.
don't know what the outcome is or what it's how it's going to manifest itself. And I suspect that that's part of the concern that a lot of people have about conditions like Alzheimer's is, well, it plays out differently for different people.
It does. And you have to realize, too, that when you start having some memory problems, it may not be any form of Alzheimer's or dementia. It very well could be you're on a med that's causing memory problems. So it's so important to talk to your doctor. A lot of people are afraid to talk to their doctor because they're afraid of what if
the answer.
It is Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Now, Marty, you'd said in the last segment about stress with caregivers.
Yes. So 44% of caregivers are dying before the person they're caring for.
I would suspect that that's probably true if it's a physical condition as well as a mental, just the ongoing never relief, never getting a break, so to speak, and after a couple of years just getting ground down.
You can imagine, I mean, my dad passed away from cancer, and the things that my brother had to do in order to care for him were horrific, as any caregiver knows, the things that you have to go through. But when my dad was dying from prostate cancer, we didn't have to worry about him going into the kitchen, turning on the stove, and walking away and blowing up the house, or walking out the front door and never coming back. And so it adds a level, that anxiety adds a level. And then to care for somebody who's in the process of dying, which is such a grief-stricken process that you as the caregiver are going through, and then the person you're caring for forgets who you are.
Once you cross that bridge, I know a number of folks who have been in the situation where they have either opted for or have been required to be the caregiver at the end of it, whether it's a parent or a sibling or even, unfortunately, sometimes their kids. And they talk about, when it's done, the joy that they received.
Yes.
The connections that they got, it wasn't grief-stricken at the end. It was the celebratory feeling.
There was some connection made.
Right. That last period of time,
yes.
And being able to spend that length of time.
Yes. Often repairing of relationships before someone passes away.
Sure. But now if the mental stability is gone.
Right.
Okay, you get all that, but at the same time, there's frustration from the affected or afflicted. I'm not sure which would be the proper word to use. And then you know that there will be nobody home, even though you're still looking at whoever the individual is.
Right, that level of communication is just disappears.
Yeah, there's the euphoria, and then there's coming back down again. Are there more support groups for those working with, families dealing with, and the individuals suffering from Alzheimer's now than what there have been in the past? Are there those outreaches that are going on, or is it still one of those in the closet, let's be quiet about it, types of conditions that more and more people are dealing with?
There are a lot of support groups locally, but trying to get folks to go to them. One of the hard things to get there is, who's going to care for your loved one when you go? So you've got to get someone, right?
The backfill.
You can't leave them alone.
Yeah,
right.
And then a lot of people, there's a stigma still of, are you going to reach out and let someone know that your loved one has Alzheimer's and that you need a support group? But the folks that do attend support groups, it's huge, just what they get out of it. So it helps so much by sharing your story.
Part of our battle is this, exactly what we faced back in 1985 when we started Relay for Life, was the fact that even back then in the mid-80s, people would not publicly admit they had cancer. It's very hard to fight a disease when people won't talk about it. And you can think back in the 60s, 70s, 50s, whatever, people called it the big C if they even talked about it. Alzheimer's has very much been the same way. It's only been within the last year or two, through the Alzheimer's Association and other organizations pushing extremely hard, along with public figures, whether it's in entertainment or politics, et cetera, trying to make this part of the common dialogue.
Did President Reagan, going through it, kind of set the stage?
I don't know. With him going through it, I think it became
just the discussion.
I don't think it ever really got launched at that point.
Still too early.
still too early. In fact, I think one of the tipping points that happened most recently was when Robin Williams passed away, because at the time he passed away, they thought he had a form of dementia. Now that's changed.
Now they're saying that it's Parkinson's.
Nothing simple.
No.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Aquellos, Marty and Kim, about Alzheimer's and in the pending walk. We'll spend a little bit of time talking about momentarily. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and by Lolita Cheese. Folks, with Alzheimer's, is it getting trendy to talk about it? Is it getting safe?
I think it's becoming safer, and I don't. It's hard to use the word trendy in this case, but I agree with you. I think that that's what's starting to happen. It's almost opened up Pandora's box that, in just within the last year or two, it has now become part of national discourse, and you're seeing it come up in lots of different places. You watch the news at least once a week. There's a story coming up about it. So it seems like we're becoming more comfortable discussing it as an issue.
Well, and just brain-related things. You know, these kids now that are retiring out of the NFL at mid-20s.
Yes, and all the people that
changing
are
changing the
now,
rules and the. And, yes. You know, I mean, so there seems to be some additional recognition.
And people coming out saying they're having Parkinson's. I think what's really helping is that people who are known in the public eye are coming forward saying, we are battling these diseases that affect the brain, and they're making it okay to talk about it.
Right. I think probably the if there was such a thing as cool, the cool one was Lou Gehrig's disease, you know, ALS, because it was Lou Gehrig. It was the Iron mm-hmm. Horse, and it was around since the mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, and there was no weakness associated with it. It was just something, he got a bad break. I think that might have been the phrase that he used with his, you know, luckiest man on the earth speech. Okay. That normalized. Boom. One guy, everybody loved him. Okay, fine. We haven't had too many of those moments of clarity.
With Alzheimer's.
Now yeah. We're starting to get more, or any of the brain, particularly, I would suspect, because, as Kim alluded to earlier, this is doing it to yourself. This is something, you know, this is just kind of like coming full circle mm-hmm. rather than a bad genetic draw like some of the others. So what are some of the primary things, if you are not wanting to have Alzheimer's or deal with it in your family, what are some of the real basic staples, the three or four things, if we could all buy in on, would really help to lessen the frequency of Alzheimer's?
Well, Kim should talk about the latest research, because the latest research is really incredible at this point. They've just come out in the last couple of weeks.
So they just had the Alzheimer's Association every year has an international conference. So they bring together folks from over 70 countries, scientists, to work to discuss the latest dementia study results and theories. So from this came the breakthroughs that we've been waiting for forever. So one was a drug trial where 81% of the participants went from amyloid positive to amyloid negative.
And amyloid is what?
Amyloid and plaques and tangles are what you normally see in a patient that has Alzheimer's.
The tangle thing I recognize.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were able to clear a lot of the amyloid plaques away from their brain, 81%.
So it's like a purging.
Exactly. So this drug allowed for them to clear away a lot of the plaque. So
once, is it in clinical studies now, or is it moving?
Well, that's the second drug trial. They're going to go to a third. So with this drug, by doing that, they increased folks' cognitive functioning by 30%.
So I would think people would be volunteering for this.
Exactly.
Well, it's huge because they've been trying to create a drug that would get rid of plaques and tangles, because essentially this is the matter that's building up in your brain that's preventing your synapses from connecting for your brain functioning. It's the gunk.
Yeah.
And so they haven't been able to find anything that has worked. And now we have finally had a major breakthrough, and it becomes critical at this point. We have to pump as many research dollars as we can into this as fast as possible, because we might have finally found something that's going to work.
Or work for a percentage of people, which
right.
is
which
okay,
would be
fine.
Huge.
I wouldn't think that there's going to be the universal magic pill.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No.
So a grant from the Alzheimer's Association made this trial possible. So folks that participate in the walk that give money, then that money goes to researchers. So this was a grant that we were able
this
to.
This money coming full circle pretty quick.
Exactly.
That's
so,
cool.
Which is so exciting. So,
we got a potential medical treatment.
Correct.
Exactly. They're going to start for phase three soon of this trial. And then once they do, they're hoping that perhaps within 3 years, they could actually have a drug on the market, which is huge.
A generic drug, or one of those that's like $5,000 a pill? Right?
I don't know that.
Okay, because I think that's one of the big issues also.
Well, that's where we need public pressure to really, force our politicians to deal with.
Well, or if there's a national funded entity doing the research, supported by tax dollars rather than the private sector, it's a pretty simple argument to make.
True.
You know, if it's costing the Quellos $10 million or $10 billion to come up with this drug, you guys better get some money back on that thing.
But when the Alzheimer's Association is funding the research, hopefully that leads to a drug that's more cost effective.
Yeah, we'd like to think that that's in the equation somewhere. What are the other two?
The other study.
The other study was a Sprint Mind study. It's the first clinical trial to show a 20% reduction in mild cognitive impairment. So, and they did this by aggressively lowering people's blood pressure.
Okay, another reason to pay attention to your blood
pressure.
Exactly.
Okay.
So what they did is they had two trial groups. One group was they were trying to hold their blood pressure down to 140 on average, and another group 120. And what they found within, how long was the study going on?
2 years.
Within 2 years, they saw such improvement in the group that they were holding down to 120, they couldn't morally keep the 140 group going. They said, we have to get you down to 120, because the memory impact was so huge. It basically is a very strong indicator that blood pressure is having an impact in causing Alzheimer's.
Which would make sense. I mean, strokes.
Well, I think that's...
There's a connection that's there.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this is what they've been speculating and seeing in other studies, is that our diet and our exercise is a driver of Alzheimer's. So we're really at a point as a society of, we know that diet and exercise impacts heart disease, cancer, nearly diabetes, every other disease you can throw out on the table. Now we know it's Alzheimer's too. So at this point, honestly, people, we have to eat better and get off our butts.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with the Quellos about Alzheimer's, and we've got the local event coming up in October. What, where, when, why, all that stuff.
So the walk is coming up on October 13th. Registration is at 10 a.m. and the walk is, you can either walk a mile, you can walk 3 miles. It's a quick couple hours out of your day.
And where is it going to be out at Redwoods?
It is going to be at the Adorney Center. So we meet at the Adorney Center to have our opening ceremonies, and then we go outside, and the walk starts in Halverson Park and goes through Old Town and loops back around.
Would it make sense to do like a nutrition seminar? Or wellness is such a goofy, weird word, but something along those lines so that even the supporters get the basic message. Get off your butt, and I believe eat better. I think that's
We usually have
I'm paraphrasing what you were saying.
Right,
but, it's kind of almost there.
Well, we usually have somebody lead off with exercises before the walk begins, but I think this year an emphasis on nutrition and exercise becomes even more important given the research that we've found. People can register online. They can go ahead and just Google the Humboldt County Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's going to pop up, and they can register online. Or they can register at the event. You can be an individual. You can be a team. People bring out their dogs, dress up their dogs. There's newborn babies and strollers to people that are in their 80s. It really runs the full gambit of community members. It's a very low-key event, just very positive in nature. We're trying to provide support to people with Alzheimer's. There are 3,000 people in Humboldt and Del Norte counties that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And if you think about the number of people that have to care for them, it is truly staggering the amount of people in our small two counties that are being impacted by this disease.
3,000, that's about 2%?
It's getting to the 2 to 3% range. What's scary is these are the numbers that we used to see for cancer. And so it is so radically grown over the last few years. We have to intercede at some point.
That's not a relative figure. That's just an escalating figure within a static population, basically.
Exactly.
That's a different spin on that one.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to get involved, is there a local chapter? Is there, Cancer Society's got something, Red Cross has got something. There's a lot. Is there a local presence, or is this something?
So Kim's our staff person for the Alzheimer's Association, and not only are we running the Walk to End Alzheimer's, but we're trying to bring mission activities within the community. So the Alzheimer's Association helps support the Dementia Conference, we brought Congressman
Huffman
up and had him speak with people, trying to get community dialogue, pressure back on politicians, making this more of an issue. It's been our chair of the Walk to End Alzheimer's is Bonnie Neely. So with her and Kelly Sanders, our co-chair, the two of them having their political connections has very much helped in reaching out to that side of the house.
Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.